And in a minute, I'll ask them to introduce themselves. So it's very, very lovely to have you all here joining us for our first online city retreat. So at West London, we always do a retreat over Christmas and the New Year period, usually at the centre as a sort of non-residential retreat, but obviously that's not been possible this year. So we did some sort of meditation mornings around Christmas time, and now we're doing this retreat into the new year. It always feels like a significant time of the year, the end of one year, the beginning of a new year, and certainly for me, I feel that I want to be using that time as an opportunity to sort of like reflect, get in touch with what's most important to me and my values, and think into the new year so that I'm in a way creating good conditions going into the new year. So it always feels lovely to be on retreat at this time of year. And I think it will still feel very significant being online together on retreat at this time of year. And we are actually going to be doing a special late night session on New Year's Eve from 10 o'clock into the new year. So I thought what I'd do is maybe say a little bit about being on an online retreat, because there are certain differences and there are also some practical issues. Get those out of the way. Also introduce Pranyanita and Ratnadeva, because the three of us will be leading this retreat. And yes, there'll be a chance to have an introduction to the theme of the retreat. So basically, the first part will be a little bit more welcoming and practical stuff and just setting the scene so that we all know certain things. A bit like if you were at a residential retreat, you'd arrive and you'd have your supper and then come into a sitting room and they'd sort of be some introductions and people giving you a little bit of an overview. So we'll be doing that in the first half of this evening, and then we'll go into more of the retreat mode, and Pranyanita will be giving us a short introduction to the theme of the retreat, and then we're going to move into more practice base. So we'll have a dedication ceremony, we'll have a short meditation, and we'll end with a mantra, and that's basically what we're going to be doing tonight. So yes, it's very different being on an online retreat to being when you go off. We don't have that opportunity for a journey and that sense of a transition arriving there. And certainly for me, that whole physical moving from one place to another is part of it. So one of the things I think being on an online retreat is that the transitions, we need to be a lot more conscious about transitions, because really we're still in the place that we've been. We might just have been sitting down, having a cup of tea or chatting with someone in our normal space, and then we go online and we're in front of our device and we're suddenly on the retreat. And then when the session finishes, we're back in that space again. So I think how we start and end the retreat, how we start and end each day, how we start and end each session, it's helpful to be a little bit more conscious of those transitions. Yeah. So if you can, not going straight from a session into activity, but giving yourself just a little bit of a pause or a little bit of quiet space before and after a session, you might find you get more out of it. So we're very aware that not everybody may be able to make every session. And one of the things that we do on our retreats is that we record all the teaching, we record the led meditations, we record the rituals and the Q&A sessions, and then we put them online on a special retreat page. So when you registered for the retreat, you would have got an initial letter sort of welcoming you and giving you certain information, which is important because that has the link. So you've all here, so you must have got that email and had the link. So that's the link that you will need to use throughout the retreat. And there is an option where you can download it into your calendar, and then you have all the links on every session in your calendar. But otherwise, you can just keep using that link for all the different sessions throughout the retreat. The second email is the email that will have had the link to our dedicated retreat webpage, and that's a private webpage, so you won't get it just by going on the West London Buddhist Centre site or searching it. So you do have to actually use that link. And if for any reason you can't find it, then you can post in the chat or email us and let us know, and we'll let you have it. So on a retreat, normally you have an organiser and or an organiser's jar, and you put messages in if you need to get in touch with people or you need to ask something of the leaders. So for us, the equivalent of that will be the teaching at West London Buddhist Centre email. Again, this is all in your registration email. So you can drop us a line there and we can respond to that. Or you could put something privately in the chat to one of the team. So if you've not been on Zoom before, it's worth looking at the bottom of your screen where you have various options, like to mute and unmute yourself, to stop and start your video. And then there's a thing that says chat, and if you click on the chat, you're able to post chat and also read chat that other people have done. And so you can either do chat to everybody or to one of the team. So if you want to do something private, or you can do it to the team, and if you're happy for everyone to read it, you can do it in the chat. So that's kind of sort of practical stuff about being on the retreat, but really the main thing about being on retreat is, in a way, taking some time out of your normal routine, dedicated space for practice, and to come together with other practitioners, creating a temporary community as we practice together. And that's really supportive, I find, for my own practice, and I think most people do find that practicing with others supports their practice, helps them go into more depth. And so turning up, if you can, is really supportive. So I know you may have to miss a session, but if you can make all the sessions or make most of the sessions, that will really help create that sense of community. And again, with the groups, I mean, every afternoon there'll be like a half an hour group. And if you really don't want to do it, or it doesn't feel right for you that day, then that's fine. But in a way, that's a way where people do get to connect up with others, share, you know, how you're doing on this journey of the retreat, you know, the practice, your experience. And for a lot of people, they find it helps them go to depth. It's really supportive, being in those groups. So I just give that invitation to do them. And what we're saying is, if you want to be in the group with the same people for the whole retreat, then well, let us know really. Today or by lunchtime, yeah, if you haven't already. And then you need to commit to actually coming to the group each day so that that group can sort of be there. Otherwise, we'll be just put in random groups. But that's, I think, a lot of people find quite nice, because you get to see and connect with quite a lot of people during this retreat. So yeah, the kind of content of the retreat is going to be, you know, we'll be having teaching input on the theme, which is the four reminders. There'll be meditation sessions, some led, some unled. There'll be periods of reflection. There'll be mantra chanting. There'll be some ritual. There'll also be discussion groups in big and small groups, some Q&A and inquiry, and there'll be a kind of mix of those things during the retreat. So this is a sort of combination of Dharma teaching and Buddhist teaching and meditation, so it's not unlike a meditation intensive retreat. And we'll be sort of sharing it out between us, the three of us. And if you've been on one of our online retreats before, it's a slightly different format we're doing. So we're not doing an early morning meditation, but we're starting at 10:30. And then we're having another session starting at 4, and then we've got an evening session starting at 7. Again, all this information is on the website and in the emails that you would have received, but just to remind you of that. But yes, really looking forward to practicing with you and seeing where it takes you. I was a little bit skeptical about the possibility of doing a retreat online, and it's a different experience, but it still feels like entering into a different space. And when I've been on them as a participant, or though I've been co-leading, I always feel it's very different being on an online retreat to just being in my everyday life, going along to the odd online class or something. It is an opportunity to go deeper and have a continuity of practice and a breadth and depth of practice that might that the conditions will support, I think. Anything else about the Deva or Pranayanita you want to say about the overall retreat? Okay, silence, I think says not. So the other thing that I did want to say is that we're doing this retreat on what we call a dana basis, a donation basis. And I know some people have already been generous and made a donation towards the retreat. At a time like this year has been a year like no other, hasn't it? With so much happening, so much change, so much uncertainty, so much loss. Everything that we knew, in a way, turned upside down. And that's been happening all around the globe with all the different responses, ramifications, primarily from the coronavirus pandemic. But also, there have been a lot of other upheavals and changes, major changes in the world that we will all have been affected too. And I'm sure there have been also stuff in our personal lives. So, this is an opportunity really to take some time to absorb that, reflect on that, and coming at it from a perspective, from a sort of spiritual perspective, a Buddhist perspective that can help with all of that. And for me, what's kept me through this year has been this sense of community, has been the teachings and the practices that we've got from the Buddha. I don't know what I would have done otherwise, and I know from a lot of other people that they found it really helpful, and they've also found it really helpful coming to some of our events. And we really want to be able to keep on doing that, and also to be offering it to more and more people out there. Because of the very particular situation of having to close the centre, that has meant that we lost a lot of our income, so we are very reliant on any donations we get, particularly from our online events. So, this, in a way, is an opportunity to, in a way, invest in the sort of spiritual future of the West London Centre and its events by, in a way, all the things we've done before have been because of people's generosity, and to keep on doing things, we also rely on people being generous. So anything that anyone gives now helps us to offer things in the future to others. So there should be links, I think, in the chat and in your email. So there's just that invitation. We don't want anyone not to come on the retreat, and there's no expectation that you have to give anything. But if you are able to do something, then it makes a very big difference to the future well-being of the centre and what we can offer. Okay, so I think now would be a good time for Pranayanita and Ratna Deva to introduce themselves, and then Pranayanita's going to give us an introduction to the theme of the retreat, and then we'll move into the practice part of the evening.
So, hello everyone. My name is Pranayanita, and I'm actually phoning from this, zooming from the center. So it's really beautiful to be on this retreat and to have our West London Buddhist Center, Rupa, with us. So it feels complete that we've got that. And I'll hand over to Ratna Deva.
Thank you, Pranayanita. Yes, I'm here in Acton with my partner, Amita Jyoti. And it's a very different Christmas, probably for the whole planet. This Christmas is a very different Christmas. I mean, up to a month ago, I was expecting to be back in Dublin at this time, as I have been for the past 30 years at the festive season. But it does seem to me that this is such a wonderful way to see in the new year, such a meaningful way. You know, I'm actually feeling quite a lot of joy signing in here as we are tonight for the next few days. It just feels like a great way. And the topic, you know, the four reminders, what a rich set of reflections to see in the new year, to see out the old and to see in the new. Glad to be here.
Okay, so over to you, Panyanita.
Thank you. And I'll probably just start by saying, Ratnadeva said he feels joyful, and I feel really joyful and lucky, really, more than anything else. And I think last couple of days, 6 days, thanks to the generosity of everyone who supports the center and generosity of my team, most of which is here actually, either on the team teaching or actually participating and practicing with us. So thanks to the generosity of our team, I had this unprecedented spaciousness over the last 6 days. And I had really quite amazing conditions and spaciousness for reflections. And it was an opportunity to really see the workings of the mind. And in Buddhism, we haven't got the mind sort of associated with the head, but mind, when we say the word mind, it's really the mind heart. So it's the whole of our being. And so I was able in that spaciousness to really see what's going on within my mind heart, and seeing the yearnings and the cravings and inclinations and grooves of my mind and heart. And I was really thinking about, I think I know what gives my life meaning, and I've chosen a particular path to follow. But over the period of time, it's constantly looking back onto what makes me practice. You know, what makes me practice today? What makes me practice when I get up tomorrow? So what makes me turn towards the Dharma? What makes me continue on the path that I've chosen? And when there is the festive period, there are lots of distractions in the way. So, you know, what is it that will allow me to kind of put the distractions aside and really reflect and focus on what really matters, And really the city retreat, I mean, we've called it letting go and waking up. And frankly, I'm quite ready to let go of 2020. So I see this city retreat as an opportunity to let go of the entire year, and 2021, well, an opportunity to wake up. But it's not just, you know, in these big time scales that we might be working. It's in every moment, in every sort of from moment to moment, we've got opportunity to let go and wake up. And it's just moment by moment, it's letting go, it's waking up, you know, even as we sit here right now, that's a moment, that's an opportunity. And for this retreat, I think we've chosen a marvelous theme, and that is the theme of reminders. And it's these reminders, and I'll go through them in a moment, they're about turning our mind hearts. They're about sort of really making us feel motivated, making us do what we feel is the most important thing to do. And we've got time tonight, and we've got time over the 3 days where we've got this opportunity to create community together, and we can cultivate abiding in the presence of others, practicing together. And we can turn inwards. We've got an opportunity to contemplate and sort of move inwards and think and reflect and yeah. So these four reminders that we will look at over the three days, they sometimes have different names to them. You might have come across them, and it's four mind turnings, because they turn our mind towards what we want it to be turned towards and motivate us to practice. Or sometimes they refer to as the four ordinary preliminary practices, or four thoughts that transform the mind. And probably my favorite thing of how they're being described is four thoughts that touch the heart. And in Buddhism, the heart, hard mind, or mind hard, is citta. So there are these four thoughts or four reminders that touch our heart. And in some ways, you know, it allows our hearts to be activated so we can leap into activity knowing what we want to do. Rumi said, only from the heart can you touch the sky. Well, I want to be touching the sky. So I want us all in the next 3 days to be in touch and activate our heart through these reminders so we can touch the sky. And what are these four reminders? Well, the four reminders, the first one of them is preciousness of this human life. So really, you know, really pausing and being aware what opportunity we actually have, everything that we have in place, and that we can rejoice and feel that joy that Ratnadeva was talking about, just through the fact that we are alive. So that's the first reminder, the preciousness of this human life. And the second reminder is the impermanence, or contemplation of impermanence and death. And again, it is just being aware of how fleeting each moment is, and each moment being an opportunity to let go, to wake up. And that moment just keeps going. So there is a constant change in place. And when we do reflect on these two reminders, it allows us to sort of cultivate energy and activate our motivation so we can do what we set our heart to do. So it gives us the urgency to do things. And the third reminder is really being aware that actions have consequences. So in Buddhism, we talk about karma, meaning actions. And it's really a contemplation that whatever we do, it sort of plants a seed for how we're going to experience our life in a moment to moment from that. So it's just being aware that actions have consequences and really take that particular teaching into our minds. And finally, the fourth reminder that we will be exploring is that conditioned existence, what we call samsara in Buddhism, is really unsatisfactory. It's just not going to give us the pleasure that we might be looking for. And ultimately, it's not there where we really find gratification. So it's just being aware of where to look for meaning in our lives. So really, it's these four reminders are an opportunity for us to activate our motivation, activate our heart, so we are really clear what is it that we want to be doing and why we want to be doing it, because we need all the energy and all the sort of heart, the whole being being involved in order for us to get moving in that direction on the path that we might have chosen. And really, where is this all this coming, these particular four reminders? Well, the context of it is, it would have been the different teachings, the different reminders. They come in Pali Canon, in different teachings separately, but Tibetan Buddhism in particular has really taken those four reminders and often talks of them as preliminaries. So it's about like building, if you want really solid practice and have a particular momentum, in a way those four reminders are these preliminaries. They're like a foundation to a house. And if you build really, really solid foundation, it allows something beautiful to build, to be built on top of them. So the Tibetans would kind of, in some of their practices that they're doing, when they're teaching, for example, 7-point mind training, the preliminaries is where you start. And basically that's what we'll be doing. We'll set this year into motion with really solid foundations for our practice for the year to come, and hopefully do that in presence of each other on this retreat. And I'm just going to finish with a reading from Tsongkhapa, which sort of reflects on some of these reminders. So Tsongkhapa says, the human body, at peace with itself, is more precious than the rarest gem. Cherish your body. It is yours this time only. The human form is one with difficulty. It is easy to lose. All worldly things are brief, like lightning in the sky. This life you must know as the tiny splash of a raindrop, a thing of beauty that disappears even as it comes into being. Therefore, set your goal. Make use of every day and night to achieve it.
Thank you, Pranyanita. And I was just pausing a bit to absorb that. And I think you gave us a really good introduction and overview of the four reminders. And I really liked you giving us all the different titles. You know, the mind turning exists. I like the four thoughts that touch the heart and that transform the mind. Really lovely. And yes, this waking up and letting go. I mean, this whole year, everything has been an opportunity for that as well. And I think probably already everybody will have been experiencing and in their own way in touch with those four reminders of the themes of those four reminders. So in a way, it's an opportunity to do that in a way where we're just sort of focusing on it, particularly from that perspective. So if we were... at a retreat centre, now would probably be the time when we all trooped off to the shrine room to do the dedication ceremony, do some meditation, and then everybody would go off to bed because they were knackered from travelling and having had a full day. So just imagine that we're moving from this certain space about like giving a bit of an overview of the retreat, welcoming you, to moving into sort of a space for practice. So we don't have a physical shrine room, though it is very lovely that Pranyanita is actually based at the West London Buddhist Centre for this retreat, and she's in the shrine room, and my heart is definitely open just seeing our Rupa behind her, you know, seeing the Manjushri tanker. yeah, it's very lovely to actually have the physical presence of the centre here on our virtual retreat, and to actually have that, you know, connection with the main shrine room of the centre on our retreat. But in a way, this virtual space we're creating is like our shrine room. Yeah, and it's quite interesting that we can all be in our individual spaces, you know, across London, across the world. You know, some people are coming from far afield, and we come together through this medium on the internet, and we create this virtual space, and that within that space, it's a potential space where things can emerge, things can happen, there can be depth and breadth of practice, there can be connections with each other, connections with ourselves. So just like a shrine room, I think it's really important to kind of try and dedicate the space, try and create a sacred space for our practice. So that's why we're going to be doing this ritual, the dedication ceremony. So some of you will be familiar with this, some of you may not be familiar with it. And I'm just going to say something, that we will be doing some rituals on the retreat. Often they'll be in what we call call and response, where somebody says a line and then the rest of us say it afterwards. So it's not just that the person's saying it so you know what to say and you're being a parrot. The whole thing about call and response is that you hear it and you respond, yeah? So on a sort of metaphorical level, call and response, I think, has a power. But also there's something about us doing it collectively, doing it together. Now, it may not feel quite so collective when you're just by yourself, but what we'll be doing is that two of the team, one will be doing the call, one will be doing the response, and then if everybody joins in with the response at home, or if you don't feel like it, then you just listen. But I think, in a way, there's something about joining and just seeing what happens that can help you connect, help your heart connect, help you feel part of this community as well. But if it feels uncomfortable, then, you know, obviously don't. There's no, you know, what it's up to you to choose what feels right for you and what you participate in. Though the more you participate in, maybe the more of an experience you'll have, I think. So, yeah, so the dedication ceremony, this is one that was written by Sangharakshita, who was the founder of the movement, way back at the beginning, and it's sort of often done at the beginning of a retreat, you know, within the Tree Ratna community, wherever you are in the world, and at particular occasions to dedicate the space, and in a way, in our imagination, to create sort of protection. There's lines a bit about sort of like creating projection from lotus petals, and the lotus is very much a symbol of compassion, but it's also another symbol of awakening, you know, lotus growing in the mud coming up, or sometimes in rubbish heap or something growing up. You have the bud that's tight that opens and can flower into something really, really beautiful. And that can be a real metaphor for ourselves and our lives and our spiritual practice. You've also got Vajra, wall of determination. And what did I do with my Vajra? I had it here a minute ago. Anyway, well, never mind. I will probably show it again later. Well, Vajra as a symbol of reality, but also something that can cut through anything and is indestructible and is very much associated with wisdom and insight. And sort of determination, and also being protected by flames, and flames being very much a symbol of transformation, yeah, purification, and yeah, just connecting with our desire, our aspirations to sort of purify ourselves and to, you know, become more and more like the Buddha or like an enlightened being, that we all have those seeds within us. If we create the conditions, and being on a retreat like this is part of creating positive conditions for those seeds to grow and develop. And so it's basically an opportunity to connect to aspirations, inspirations, intentions, collectively, and create this space for the retreat. So after we've done the dedication ceremony, we'll just have a period of meditation, and we'll do some just sitting. So that's if you haven't done the just sitting practice, it's basically just like it says. We're just sitting. We're not actively trying to make anything happen. We're just sitting with our experience, turning towards bringing awareness, bringing mindfulness, compassion to our experience in the moment, being aware of the flow of impermanence in our experience as well, whether that's physical sensations, whatever's arising in our thoughts and our feelings. So just an opportunity to sort of sit there open, receptive. And after we've done that, Ratna Deva is going to lead us in the Green Tara mantra. So we will be doing quite a lot of mantra chanting. And again, mantra chanting is a practice just like meditation is a practice. And it's a way of connecting. It's a sort of symbol, just like you've got the visual symbols of the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. A mantra can be a sound symbol of a particular enlightened being or Buddha or Bodhisattva, and a way of connecting with their qualities and our own inner version of those qualities. So Green Tara very much associated with compassion and compassionate action in the world, and responding, to people who need help, reaching out into the world, stepping down into the world, but doing that from a place half seated in meditation, so she's still in touch with her values, her practice, her wisdom as she does that. And I think for all of us, probably we have an ongoing challenge how we negotiate, how we manage being in the world and our, turning inwards and our practice in the world and spiritual practice and, making change, positive change in the world. So she very much embodies the perfection of that, really, and what we could aspire to with that. And also, well, we decided that we wanted to have some figures here on the retreat that we could connect with, that could be sort of protective presences, and we thought Green Tara and Vajrasattva. So I've got Vajrasattva here and Green Tara up there, and I can see Green Tara next to the Buddha in Pranyanitas, and then there's Vajrasattva in the Tanka. And we'll be saying more about those figures as the retreat goes on. But anyway, that's one reason why we're going to start with the first mantra being Green Tara, and that will conclude this evening. Yeah. So the dedication ceremony, just sitting, Green Tara mantra. And then that will be the end of this session until the morning session. And this session will be online by tomorrow morning, and then from then on, each day stuff will be loaded up probably towards the end of the day that you can access to catch up or afterwards. Okay, so that was a lot of talking, so just a little bit of a pause. A little bit of a transition. With all that talking, I probably got everybody very much in their heads. So now's a chance to just sort of arrive in your body, connect with your heart and your mind that's more than your thinking mind. Arrive in this virtual space alongside all the other people here. To arrive on the retreat. And opportunity to just dedicate our time, dedicate our practice over this retreat. Connect with our inspiration and our aspiration. And reminding ourselves that we're not doing it just for ourselves, that actually our practice can be of benefit to others in the world, and dedicating it to that. Dedication ceremony. We dedicate this place to the three jewels.
We dedicate this place to the three jewels.
To the Buddha.
To the Buddha.
The ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
The ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
To the Dharma.
To the Dharma.
The path of the teaching which we follow.
The path of the teaching which we follow.
To the Sangha.
To the Sangha.
The spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
The spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
To the observance of the five precepts.
To the observance of the five precepts.
We dedicate this place.
We dedicate this place
to the practice of meditation.
To the practice of meditation.
We dedicate this space.
We dedicate this space
to the development of wisdom.
To the development of wisdom.
We dedicate this space.
We dedicate this space.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Here may there be peace.
Here may there be peace.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Here may there be love.
Here may there be love.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Here may there be joy.
Here may there be joy.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
We dedicate this space.
We dedicate this space.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
May the Vajra wall of determination extend.
May the Vajra wall of determination extend.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
Here seated.
Here seated.
Here practicing.
Here practicing.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
For the happiness of all beings.
For the happiness of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
With body, speech and mind.
With body, speech and mind.
We dedicate this space.
We dedicate this space.
Just sitting.
tare, tu reins, waha. Om tare, tu 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 tutare jure swaha. Om tare 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 tutare jure swaha.
So that concludes tonight's session. I wish you all a peaceful night's sleep and look forward to seeing you again 10:30 tomorrow morning, when we'll be looking at the first of the four mind-turning reflections. Keep well in between.